Freak. Hey, what's up, everybody, and welcome to yet another episode of Feel Good Friday. We're back for episode 62. I'm saying 62 like that as a reference to The Waterboy. Great film, great Adam Sandler flick, one of my favorites. Not my favorite, but one of my favorites. I'll tell you my favorite in just a moment. Now, the reason I am saying 62 in the Waterboy voice, the Bobby Boucher voice, is because I want to give Adam Sandler his flowers really quick. I don't know if I've done that enough. I know I've gone through, I've given certain people their flowers, you know. Jennifer's Body, I did it the other day. Adam Sandler, I think, is a little more deserving than Jennifer's Body. I know that's pretty controversial to say. Jennifer's Body, the career of Adam Sandler. I don't know. But I think he's pretty deserving of it. So I wanted to give just a general appreciation post. This is also in light of him receiving, being the recipient, that those are, you know, it's the same thing, but I wanted to say more words, so I did. Being the recipient of the Mark Twain Award. The Mark Twain Award is basically like a lifetime achievement type award, for comedians and actors, comedy actors, all that funny shit. You know what I mean? Funny shit. And Adam Sandler is arguably the king of funny shit. For me, absolutely. I grew up watching Happy Madison films literally from when I was in second grade to now. I'm pumped for Murder Mystery 2, you know? Like I said, I grew up watching The Waterboy a lot. Happy Gilmore, Billy Madison, The Wedding Singer, which The Wedding Singer is my favorite Adam Sandler movie. Now, those are the classics. And then, you know, The Big Daddy, Little Nicky, Click, Anger Management, You Don't Mess with the Zohan. You Don't Mess with the Zohan, that was the era where I started seeing Adam Sandler movies in theaters with my buddies. And I remember seeing that one and just, again, thinking it was hilarious. And I said, the Sandman doesn't miss. He doesn't miss. Now, some would argue that he has missed in a film like The Ridiculous Six or Jack and Jill. And to them, I say, fuck you. You go make a movie and see if you get hit every time. Just saying. Just saying. I'm going to defend him. I'm going to die on the Sandman's hill. I'm going to die on the Sand Mound, if you will. If you will. And that rhymed right there. So you're welcome for that little bit of poetry. Now, it aired the other day, or it was on TV the other day. I believe, again, that's the same thing as airing. I'm just using words to fill up the dead air. Adam Sandler received the Mark Twain Award. There were a bunch of people at the ceremony. You had Rob Schneider, Jennifer Aniston, Drew Barrymore, Chris Rock, David Spade, Dana Carvey. Dana Carvey had a great set. It was basically, it looked like improv. It looked like he was just going off the cuff and riffing a little bit. It was really funny. Who else was there? You had, obviously, his family was all there. Ben Stiller, Steve Buscemi kind of recreated his drunk best man speech from The Wedding Singer. So I was a big fan of that. A lot of people were there. There were some I was surprised I didn't see. I didn't see any of his super close buddies in like that Alan Covert, Peter Dante, Jonathan Lauren, which if you don't know who they are, like, Alan Covert has been in so many of his movies. I think he's been in the most Adam Sandler movies. Jonathan Lauren is the guy from The Waterboy, the "we ain't won a game since 1994. That guy. Hey, Waterboy, was that a joke? I could quote that movie all fucking day. Peter Dante is the, you know, he's the guy that talks like this. Yo, some dude just stole your shit. Oh. Yeah. Again, I can quote Adam Sandler movies all day. And that's why he is so deserving of this award. He's iconic. He is an iconic titan of comedy. He has created so many timeless movies, timeless moments, characters, quotable movies that I will probably quote until the day I die. I still do the "All Right" from Big Daddy all the time. All right! I had that as my ringtone for a little bit. Now I do it with Finn because Finn will be crying for something and I'll have to, you know, just drop that one on him real quick. And he doesn't understand it, so that actually makes him more upset. So I should probably stop. You know what? This is a moment of clarity. I'm going to stop shouting at him. Even though it's not meant to be malicious or mean, it's for comedic effect. He just doesn't know what Big Daddy is. So once he knows what it is, we'll go back to it. But for now, probably stop that. Yeah, good idea. I'm going to write that one down. Scribbled. So I didn't see any of them. I didn't see Dennis Miller, Nick Swartzen, Kevin Nealon, John Turturro. Man, there were just Kathy Bates. Why not? You know, she was in The Waterboy. Was that the only Adam Sandler movie she was in? That's wild if she was. I could have sworn she was in more. It is what it is, but, you know. Anyway, but yeah, none of them. Did I say Dennis Miller and Colin Quinn, Blake Clark? So I thought, and again, I didn't see the whole thing. I only saw the clips. So maybe they were there. I just didn't see them. I hope they were there. Because again, like, especially like the Peter Dantes, the Alan Covers, and the Jonathan Laurens of the world, like they were huge. Like they were always some of my favorite characters. Peter Dante in specific. I just thought he was a cool dude, you know, he fucking talked like this all the time. Speaking of Peter Dante, Happy Madison in general has been a huge part of my comedic upbringing. Even the ones without Sandler, like Grandma's Boy, like Joe Dirt. Oh my God, Joe Dirt's one of my favorites. The Animal, The Hot Chick, Strange Wilderness, Bucky Larson with Nick Swartzen, and Kevin Nealon, and Christina Ricci. Big name. Wednesday Addams right there. So Happy Madison has been huge, and Adam Sandler is a huge, huge part of Happy Madison, obviously. His dad is the terrific guy that plays in, you know, the intro of every movie with the golf ball smacking the screen. Terrific. Yeah. So I'm really happy that he got this award, that he's getting recognized, because I think he's been snubbed at the Oscars a couple times, not just for Uncut Gems. I would argue Hustle should have been considered up there. I'm happy Brendan Fraser won it. I'm a big Brendan Fraser fan, and I'm glad that he is back, and like now he's an Oscar winner. He's one of the immortals. But I do think, you know, Adam Sandler should have been at least mentioned. Some honorable mentions right there at the Oscars. That's what the Oscars should do. Should have an honorable mention section so they could at least be like, hey, we recognize your work. We just, you know, Brendan Fraser was a really fat guy who was very sad all the time. So he won it. So, sorry. And then the Sandman speech was great. It wasn't too long, but it was funny. It was emotional. It was heartfelt. It was great. It was perfect. It was everything I expected it to be. So, yeah, again, I know I've said this multiple times. I just wanted to send him some flowers and just let him know I appreciate him, because I know that he's a big time listener of the Feel Good Friday podcast, which I say jokingly, but hey, you never know. He seems like the kind of guy that would just find some obscure podcast, like, I don't know, Feel Good Friday, and just listen to it. So if he gets to this episode, I hope he sends me a little Instagram message and says, hey, Joe, I think you're really funny. You're a really handsome guy. You're super, you seem smart too. Probably muscular, I would assume. And I would like to have you on my next movie and all the rest of my movies for the rest of my career. And you could have half of my net worth. That's how I imagine it going down realistically. Anyway, thank you, Adam Sandler, for everything you do. I would say you are, if not number one, you are a top three comedic inspiration for me, growing up with your movies and still watching them to this day, still loving them as much as I did. It's great. And a great actor, too. I think everyone just gets so caught up or distracted by like his works of comedy, which are, again, I think immortalized. I think they are some of the greatest comedy movies of all time. He was inspired by the Animal House and the Caddyshack and the Airplanes. And I think he's created some movies that are even bigger than those. But just a great actor too. And I think I am really blessed to have grown up watching him and to still have him in my life, because he brings me a lot of joy. So really happy that he got that award. Yeah. So there are my flowers to Adam Sandler and Happy Madison. Thank you for everything you've given me. I'll try to give back. In doing so, like, this is a start, this little segment right here. I could talk about you every episode. I could literally go from now on, episode to episode, I could talk about a different Adam Sandler movie for probably at least 10 minutes. Just saying. That's what it is. And then growing up watching him Saturday Night Live, like I had his best ofs. Oh my God, the man has done so much. His albums, everything, everything. I'm going to shut up now because it's getting a little gay, so I'm going to stop. But great episode coming up today. We have a wonderful interview with the very funny comedian Tyson Cox. Found him on Instagram, just going through, saw one of his reels, immediately thought he was funny. Followed him, watched some more clips, reached out, and he was nice enough to give me a portion of his day to let me interview him and ask him some fun questions that I think he has great responses to. We have a great conversation, in my opinion. We'll see what you think. Check it out. Let me know. And if you like it, if you like him, give him a follow on the Instagrams or the Facebooks or the Twitters or whatever social media you're on the web these days, you know, because it's worth it. Trust me, he makes great content and you will not be disappointed. And also, you already follow fucking 50,000 other fucking people. Just it's one more. What's it going to hurt? So there's that aspect of it, too. Not to get too aggressive, but like fucking just it's a button. You click it and you're done. And if you don't like it, keep scrolling. But you will like it because he's a funny motherfucker. So I'm gonna cut my guess. Goose Fraba. Not to keep quoting Adam Sandler movies, but Goose Fraba. Anger Management, 2003. Jonathan Lauren. Philadelphia 76ers fan. And Eagles fan. And I'm going to stop because I'm starting to sound a little bit obsessed and it's probably creepy. So, whew. Tyson Cox coming up. Enjoy. All right, everybody, welcome back to episode 62 of Feel Good Friday. I am here with a special guest, great comedian out of the Midwest, I believe, Tyson Cox. Tyson, thank you for being on the show.
I'm glad to be here. I wish I was here in 7 more weeks to be on episode 69.
Oh, that would have been nice. That's great. So I said, I've been, for a couple episodes now, I've been saying I'm going to have you on, and I've just been saying this comedian out of the Midwest. Where exactly are you from? Because I looked on your website, and I read your bio, and didn't get an origin story.
I like to keep it a little vague. Okay. In case someone's like, oh, I'm in Ohio, I'd love to book this guy. I don't know if he'll come this far. I'll drive. I'll get there.
Oh, so, okay. I got you.
I'm from Indianapolis, so I'm from the armpit of the Midwest.
The armpit of the Midwest.
It's fine. It's fine. I'm from Illinois originally. I just happened to be in Indianapolis because it was the largest city that was kind of near me when I needed to move.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just like, good enough. Yeah. They have open mics, I'll do it. Let's go. So I've been here for about 8 years now.
Okay, for sure. So originally from Illinois, that's where I'm at right now. Little Tinley Park.
Where are you at?
Tinley Park, suburb.
Oh, like, nice, man.
Yeah. But as a Midwesterner, I wanted your opinion, like, what I don't know why I have this debate with other Midwesterners. It's kind of pointless in a way, but I am interested. What do you think? Where's the line drawn for the Midwest? Like, I know it's Wisconsin, it's Indiana, Illinois, but like people are like, hey, Kentucky's the Midwest, or Iowa, I think, would be in there.
It's wild because I think people put like the Pacific Northwest starts to really bleed into the Midwest, which is really weird because it's part of the West Coast. So yeah. It is a very odd thing because I would put anything that's like not California, Texas, or like New York, like that little area, that's all in the middle. It's all Midwest. All the same people going, oh, do you want some ranch for your cheese curds? Like it's as soon as you get people being like, yeah, or like, I don't know, Mexican food trucks, I think that's when it starts to become not the Midwest.
Yeah. Okay. I can dig that. So speaking of the Midwest, like I said, I was on your site, and you're doing shows all around. Sorry, I don't know. There's something outside. Street sweeper. Street sweeper or something. Possible.
Children are driving street sweepers? That's insane.
It's Tinley Park, you know? What can I say? Lawless land. But throughout February, March, and April, you've been Illinois, Indiana. You did a show in Kentucky, Michigan, all that. You actually went to one of my favorite places, Saugatuck, Michigan.
Oh, Saugatuck. I had to cancel that. My wife had to get an appendectomy.
Oh, jeez.
So I had to, which really sucks. I don't like bailing on gigs.
Right.
But I also can't just be like, you got this champ, and tussle her hair.
You got this champ.
I think that was my first gig that I had to cancel on. I think it might have been like one of the first. I've had like other ones where things have come up, but it was like, you know, showcase stuff. But this is my first, like, I was at a brewery, they booked me, and I had to be like, I can't.
Oh, jeez. No.
So that hurt.
Yeah. If you ever have a chance to go back there, it's, I don't know, have you been there before?
I did one time. I was at Coral Gables. It was really interesting because somebody drove a yacht to the show.
Okay, yeah.
This is a weird sentence. It was like a 12-foot yacht, so it wasn't a big yacht, which is still bigger than any yacht I've ever been on.
Right.
I was like, that's just a tall boat.
It's just a tall boat. Yeah, there's some fancy people in Saugatuck. We were there in the fall.
They weren't fancy. That was the other thing that threw me off. I was like, who drove a yacht here? And the guy was like, I did. And you're like, all right. Your bucket of Bud Light. Torn flannel shirt. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite place to play or a favorite place to perform?
I do. I love, like, so esoterically, like, I love, like, LGBT punk bars.
Okay.
Because they're usually good energy, very, they listen and they have like they like, they will laugh.
Yeah.
I'm a big nerd, so I've done like Gen Con halls where they're excited for the show, but they've never been to a comedy show. So they're like, I didn't want to laugh. I didn't want to interrupt you.
Yeah.
You know,
fair enough.
So those are really fun because I can do really nerdy comedy. But in general, punk bars, and more specifically LGBT punk bars, just because, I don't know, I always feel good that it's like a venue that gives a shit.
Right. Absolutely.
But other than that, Helium Upstairs is great. Upstairs in Indianapolis is a beautiful room, holds 50 people. It's a little shoebox.
Gotcha.
Amazing. Uh-huh. And you get 30 people in there all on the same page. It's like a riot. It's so fun.
Yeah, so I saw you've done everything from, you know, clubs to basements, breweries, bars, all sorts of stuff. Is there, I know you just said those punk bars or whatever. Do you like kind of that smaller crowd, more intimate, you know, like?
I do. We were talking about Kanane a little bit ago. He's got a line that he said that always resonated with me. It's like, I'm willing to lose most of you to gain a few of you.
Okay.
And I've learned, like, those bars are more people I'd want to get a drink and hang out with.
Yeah.
Which is always nice because I do a lot of shows. I like to have a drink. I'll hang out with people. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll do a show in some places and someone will just be like, you're a white guy. Here's my bad white guy thoughts. I'm like, I'm a different white guy, dude.
You have resting hell yeah brother face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, I do. That's why I'm so glad my eyes are bad that I had to get glasses.
Speaking of getting a drink, your album is called Dad Water, I believe.
Yes.
Right? Dad Water, so yes. Where did the title for that come from?
So my dad drinks a lot of Bud Light, growing up.
Yeah.
And it was just one of those things, like, so when I was first starting comedy, I was writing a lot about, like, growing up on a farm.
Yeah.
And my dad naturally comes up a lot. My dad, really good guy, deep down, but he's a little bit rougher and, like, works. You know, he worked a shit job. Can I swear? I've said
that
twice now. I'm swearing. Okay.
You can curse away.
He was a very standard issue Midwest dad where he loved sports, guns, and, like, was a good dude deep down, but he worked.
Yeah.
And didn't really know how to share his emotion.
Fair enough.
Yeah. And then me being a soft little soft comedian, artsy boy, I was like, dad, boo! And so I just would write a lot about him. And he would always drink these, I was like, he drinks them like water. He drinks, dad drinks them like dad water, and that's just kind of how it came
Oh.
about for a joke. And then I made a koozie for it. So when you make merch, you kind of go, well, I have to do this joke now. And I named the album about it. But it really is an homage to my dad, who taught me how to work really hard
Yeah.
and to drink light beer. Those.
So recording the album, how cool of an experience was that?
It was awesome. I felt important for like a week and a half. It was pretty great.
Hell yeah.
Yeah,
Hell
it
yeah,
was
bro.
honestly, hell yeah, bro. Yeah, it was honestly phenomenal. It was my first album, and it really forced me to focus. Because I usually have not like I have lenses that I'll write through. Like so, all my writing is through big dumb fun. I want to be kind of loud, kind of fun. I don't want to make anyone upset. You know what I mean? I just want everyone to have a good time. Big dumb fun. But then when I had to do it for an album, I was like, well, I need to do this for an album. Okay, so you pay attention. What bits do I want to use? What bits do I want to keep? What bits do I want to get rid of? And then doing all the bits that I'm trying to kind of get rid of gave them new life, that they had a point where about a month in. A month before the album, I was like, I don't even want to do the album because I love these jokes again. But then all those jokes got sharpened up to to the nines, because I was on a too long of a tour with my buddies. It was fun, but it was long. And so I sharpened them up. People, the local scene was like, hey, that's great. You're doing an album. That's amazing. Then people were like telling me they'd listen to it, which I was like, why? And so it felt really cool, and we got it all in the. I did two shows at Helium in the Upstairs, and we got it 90%, 95% the first night, and so or the first show, and then the second show, it was just people were there for it still. There was no pressure, and I just had a good time, and it was really nice.
That's
So
awesome.
I'm gonna do it again because I like that feeling.
Do you have a name picked out for album number two, or a timetable for
I
that?
do the fool, like the tarot card, the fool. It's like going on an adventure and not knowing the destination, and that's kind of the lens I'm writing it through.
Gotcha.
That's kind of what stand up is for me. It's like it's just I love the journey so much
Awesome.
that I don't necessarily care where I end up. I'd like to be able to eit food. I think that's
That's a good goal. That's yeah.
yeah.
So I actually found out about you. I random stand-up reels will pop up on my Instagram because I watch a lot of it. The first bit I saw, and I actually haven't. I've gone through your Instagram, but it gets to a point where it's like 2 years back, and I'm like, all right, I gotta stop. This is getting weird. But it was a bit about Star Wars. It's basically like hillbillies in space or something like
Oh
that.
yeah, how Luke Skywalker is really—he's really just a space hillbilly.
Yeah, can you? Because again, I haven't heard that bit since I discovered it. Can you go into the how you came up with that and like how you, or how you connected those dots and you were like, that's actually super funny.
I remember why, because I'm a big Star Wars guy. I have a Boba Fett, MC Chris Boba Fett tattoo, so I love Star Wars. And I was just watching the original, see like the original, and I just got so mad because the guy made such a big deal. He was like, oh, 2 meters, that's no bigger than a womp rat. And I was like, wait, that's 6 feet, that's not tiny, that's not a rat. And I got mad that it was a rat-sized thing. And I was like, I just Googled, like, what's 2 meters? Like, oh, it's 6, okay, 6 feet, okay. Like, well, fuck, 6 feet, that's like a cow. Bro, I grew up next to cows. And then I was like, oh, dude, that's all he's. Dude, he grew up on a farm. Like, he's a moisture farmer. You know what I mean? Like, moisture farmer. So I was like, oh, he's grew up on a farm. And then it's just, you connect a couple of dots and you fill it in. And then you do the joke a few times. And I'm not above taking a tag or listening to other people 95% of the time. It's always like, hey, man, you did a joke about Star Wars. You ever think about calling my ex-wife a bitch? And you're like, no, I don't ever. But I remember my buddy Joe, because I had the bit all worked out, and then my buddy Joe,
great name.
Who's actually up, Joe Fitzpatrick, he's up in Chicago.
Oh, nice.
He was like, hey, man, what if he's rooting for the wrong side of the war? And I was like, oh, that's great. And then it adds a couple more tags.
Yeah.
Like, even posting it in, like online, people are like, and they're giving me tags that one weren't for stand up, but are just funny. Where they're like, yeah, his best friend drives around in a Winnebago with his dog. I'm like, oh yeah, Han Solo, Chewbacca, oh, that's great. You know, he just wants to make the galaxy great again. I'm like, I might use that.
Make the galaxy great again.
Yeah.
Love that.
I'm not a off the cuff, hilarious guy, but I'll take notes all day
for a
conversation I have. I'll take notes and then I'll just sit down. That's right. I'm a big work through it guy.
Okay.
Where, like, because I had a, like, I'll goof and riff on stage now that I'm more confident. I've been doing this for enough, but I can go, like, oh, that's a, ooh, there's something there. And then I'll sit down and I'll just word vomit a page to get one good punchline. I go, oh, okay, and I just get rid of all that other stuff. And I take that one punchline and go, okay, what else is here? And then you dig into that, and I'm sure there's better ways to do it, but
That
works for me.
I was gonna say, whatever works. Like, you're obviously successful. You're doing all these shows. You got shows. Your site only has April listed, but I'm sure you got shows for the summer coming up.
Oh yeah, I gotta update that. That's my one failing is I need to be better at social media and updating my website. But I have some shows in May. I think I dates sprinkled all the way through September.
Yeah.
And I'm always adding more dates.
Absolutely. Who or what were some of your inspirations for comedy? Because I get David Cross vibes from you. I do.
Really?
I do, yeah.
I like David Cross. So I'm not worried about that. But I never anticipated David Cross vibes.
I just, I think it's, after seeing, like, I went to your Instagram and seeing, like, the nerd news, and he kind of, like, that's, like, something he's into as well. That kind of, you know, like, the talking about the, whether it's Star Wars or the MCU or whatever. So, I don't know, I get those vibes, but what were your, or who were your inspirations?
So growing up, I loved Attell and Geraldo.
Those are
my two dudes growing up. And then later it was Kinane, you know.
Yeah.
I got to meet him.
Well, yeah.
That was really cool.
Yeah.
But I got out of this neat. But so those two, and then Matt Bronger, I was the big dumb fun. So Kinane and Bronger are kind of where I like to kind of keep it, where it's fun and I kind of have a point, but I'm not being preachy.
Right.
So those are where I'm at now. But yeah, when I first started doing comedy, you can watch video and I'm like, Daniel Tosh. I'm just doing Daniel Tosh. That's all I'm doing.
So now that you've been doing it for so long, you're kind of finding yourself more and more. And I mean, if it's Kinane and Bronger, it's like that's that Midwest vibe, you know? Like
Yeah. And that's partially why I was like, oh, Kinane Bronger, they're from, Bronger's from like Washington, right? Like the.
I think so.
West Coast, but Canadian from Chicago, and I'm always hoping to be more and more myself, and it is a fun challenge, like in that way of like, what is influences from the outside, and like what's actually me.
Yeah. Gotcha. So we did. I've mentioned it several times. You do nerd news with your. I think it's your buddy Tyler Waltz, right?
Yeah, my buddy Tyler. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm curious as to your opinion on this. What to you, like, what is a nerd? Because I'm big into the MCU. I'm big into I love Star Wars. I love all that. But like, you know, I sucked in school. Like, I don't know. Like, is that what categorizes, I guess, nerd?
I think everyone's a nerd.
Okay.
Every single person on the earth is a nerd. I happen to be a more classic Star Wars, D&D nerd, where like you said you like, you know, you like Star Wars, but like I'm sure you like, I don't know, you got a beard. You could probably like fixing motorcycles or I don't know, ripping phone books in half. I don't know.
Oh,
That's your
no.
kind of nerd. But what's like sports guys? Like the dudes that go to Buffalo Wild Wings and they just get hammered and they watch sports and then they're just like, we did that. We did. Yeah, you're a big nerd. You are a big nerd. You just love, you're a football nerd.
Oh, yeah.
So I think.
Sorry.
Yeah, I just think it's. No, no, not at all. I just think it's everyone's a nerd and everyone has their own brand of nerd.
Yeah.
Like Wall Street guys are like, oh, I made $200 million this year. You're a money nerd, you nerd.
I love that. Yeah, because I do fantasy football, and my buddy who does it as well sent me a clip of this ex-football player just like ripping into fantasy football guys, like just like, oh yeah, I got him in the second round, I got him in my draft, fucking nerd. Like that's exactly what he said, and it's so true because I'm looking, and then I was doing it at work one time, and a coworker is like. Ah, fantasy football, LARPing for jocks. And I'm just, you know, I think you're absolutely right. I think anyone can be a nerd if they, you know, like, it's weird because if when you really care about something, it comes off a little nerdy because you get
yeah.
like nerdishly excited about something and it's, yeah. So,
yeah,
I get
it.
That.
It's just, I think that's what being a nerd is, just being passionate.
Yeah.
Like, because it's past the labels back in the day. Because I remember I was talking to my dad. I went to college, failed. And I came back and I was talking to him. He goes, well, what do you like to do? And I was like, well, I've been playing D&D since I was like 14. So, you know, I still play D&D. I love computer games. We've got an internet there so I can finally play the World of Warcraft. You know, I'm a big nerd. And my dad was just like, oh, don't say that about yourself. I was like, no, dad, it's fine. Like, it's cool.
It's not a bad thing. Like, back in the 80s, maybe it was a bad thing, but I think being a nerd is, it's, I don't think it's a negative connotation anymore.
Yeah, not at all. Not anymore.
I think
yeah.
being a nerd is almost, you can correlate it to being passionate. I think that's,
yeah,
if
yeah.
someone's passionate about something, I think that's awesome. So,
which I love passion. Anytime I talk to somebody and they go, oh, and they get a bit, little breath in,
yeah.
they're just so, like, I didn't know I was going to talk about this. Oh my God. Like that, it's my favorite noise. That,
oh yeah.
I can't. I love it.
Absolutely. I don't know. I'm not sure if it's out yet. The new Dungeons and Dragons movie.
It's not out yet.
Okay.
I did get to see it early.
Oh, nice. Nice.
I was so excited. I'm not a cheer in the movie theater kind of guy,
uh-huh.
but every now and again the energy will hit me, and it's only happened twice now.
Yeah.
One was the D&D movie at just like a cool moment near the end, and I was just like, yeah, just cheering with all the people.
Hell yeah.
And the other was Avengers when Captain America gets Mjolnir. Like
okay.
that one made me go, I got out of my seat for that one.
Right.
I was jazzed.
Oh yeah, yeah. I still get the chills when I watch the. Avengers Endgame, and then you just hear the
mm-hmm.
on your left, and then the opening of the
yes.
oh, it's great.
Yes,
it's great. Oh, such a good feeling.
Yeah, I love that.
So the D&D movie was.
Yeah, no, the D&D movie is good.
Okay.
Yes, it's good. It's not. It's more of like a fantasy movie, wrapped with some humor in it, which is D&D. I know some people are like, are they gonna do like break the fourth wall and they cut to dudes playing D&D? Like, no, it's not. It's not that. It's legitimately. It's almost as if the writer and director played D&D together and was like, let's turn our campaign into a movie.
Nice.
And then they did that. It's really good. It has very good references, but it's also accessible.
Yeah.
And very fun. Very fun.
Okay. So. Yeah, I think D&D is kind of having a little bit of a resurgence almost. I don't know if it needed one, but between the Hellfire Club and Stranger Things and now this movie,
mm-hmm.
and then you put a face like Chris Pine in there, people are going to see it.
Oh, yeah. Handsome boy, Chris Pine.
Those famous Chris's.
Those Chris's are doing it. yeah, no, between the D&D movie, which I think is actually an offshoot, because Critical Role,
mm-hmm.
Which is a podcast, and this is as much as I love D&D, that show's too long. I don't have 4 hours twice a week. Are
yeah.
you kidding me?
Right.
Oh, I have to catch up on 85 4-hour episodes. No. No.
Yeah.
But between 5th edition, Stranger Things, and Critical Role, everyone plays D&D.
Yeah.
Everyone. It, when I was in high school, it was past the point of being bullied for playing D&D, and it was just obscure. And then it got a little bit of information, and then it kind of got back into the bully aspect, and then it took off. Like, now people love it.
Yeah.
Which I'm here for. I'm not. I know some people are like, D&D used to be our private little. Who gives a shit? Just have fun.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you're always gonna have those people that get upset when something they love that isn't popular becomes more popular, and you know.
I've always said I like my fandom to get just popular enough to get a porno, but not so popular they have a movie that ruins it.
That's awesome.
That's the niche I want.
Yeah. I'm kind of in the, I'm a big Nickelback guy. And
Hey, they're back, baby. Limp Bizkit. I've been on that Bizkit train the whole time, but Dad Vibes came out. People love them again.
Uh-huh. We were at Disney earlier this month and did the Jungle Cruise, and the guy made a Limp Bizkit reference, and I was the only one that got it on the boat. But he, you know, just gave me the point, like, there we go. Yeah. But yeah, no, I
one,
do.
One time.
What's that?
One time I was driving, I was in Kokomo, Indiana, driving, summertime, had the window down.
Yeah.
And a car next to me pulls up, and they're just blaring Limp Bizkit.
Uh-huh.
And it's a Suburban, and it's this little lady in it, and she makes eye contact with me and sees my windows down and gets embarrassed and turns hers down. But I was listening to Limp Bizkit at the time, so I just cranked mine up. And
oh,
she was
wow.
it was a beautiful moment.
And that is, West Portland. That's your wife now, right?
That's how we met.
Oh man, that's great. So I just got the notification. We still got 9 minutes, but I just again, thank you for doing this. But is there?
Exactly. Sorry it took so long to schedule it out. It's just
no. Life is crazy. I got a kid. I got 3 dogs that are always something with them. So I get the hecticness of life. But I wanted to get an opinion on, again, I know we already touched on the nerd news thing, but the MCU, is it trajectory going up or down?
It's not good. So we talk about this on, so we have a podcast, Nerd News, and we talk about there about how we're getting fatigued. Mm-hmm. And it's just too much, and it's trying to tie too much stuff into each other. And I think the MCU peaked at Infinity War and Endgame. That was the pinnacle. They were the first people to do this. It was 10 years of building, and they're doing a little bit of laying the track as they're getting to it, but they figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
And then they built it, and like Thor Ragnarok was amazing, and then they do Love and Thunder, not as good.
Yeah.
And you know, and they have this, and then, you know, and now it's like I love Ant-Man. I've yet to see the new one, just because I'm like, oh, it's not special. There's another one in a couple months.
Right.
You know, like it's I'm excited that the Punisher's back in Daredevil, but it's bought by Disney. There's so much stuff surrounding everything that it feels like they just know they will get X amount of money out of it, and so they need to keep making it. So it feels bad. Like the best part of Shang-Chi was the first half when it was a kung fu movie,
yeah,
and not a Marvel movie.
Oh yeah, the bus scene was incredible.
Oh, it was amazing. Mm-hmm. Just that first half, that movie was so good, and then they're like, and CGI fight. Like, okay,
yeah, yeah, big dragon out of the water.
Which again was cool. If that was 5 years ago, I'd be like, this is amazing. But I'm like, oh, okay, we got another one. Okay, they just fought a planet monster in the Eternals, so this is cool, I guess.
Yeah. Now, I know Shazam just came out recently, too, Fury of the Gods, and not doing well, from what I've read. But
it's not doing well, no. So with DC, they're doing a hard reset. Like,
right.
Ezra Miller's Flash, the only reason I'm pretty sure that movie is still showing, just because all the controversy behind the scenes with Ezra Miller, is because they need that movie to nuke the current universe.
Yeah, and Michael Keaton's in it.
and Michael Keaton's in it.
So, you gotta release it.
I'm going to pirate it. I'm going to watch it illegally. I don't really want to support Ezra Miller.
That's fair. That is totally fair. I was going to ask, though, it's not going to happen with Shazam will not be the starting point. I don't think the Flash will be either. But with James Gunn taking over DC, the DCU, is there a chance now that DC can actually potentially leapfrog the MCU? Maybe not in terms of popularity, but quality. Can he save the DCU? Does it have a chance?
I think I love James Gunn. Uh-huh. I think he can. I think he can. I bet he's going to take a different feel where Marvel movies are that, like, we make a joke, you know, something serious happens, we linger on it for a half a second, oh, we make a joke and they're fine.
Yeah.
Like, I have a feeling that James Gunn now is, like, wanting to make something a little bit darker, maybe more back to the, you know, Nolan Batman era,
yeah,
where it is darker, but, like, still make it blockbustery, you know, mm-hmm, what I mean? So right, it'll be interesting to see, and I hope we see a Martian Manhunter movie, yep, just because he's a very interesting character that hasn't been explored yet.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I've always rooted for the DCU. I always liked the characters better, and then the movies came along.
The best villains.
I know, and it's just these movies have been like miss after miss after miss.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping James Gunn can save it because, yeah, like I said, I'm a fan. And in your bio says, you know, if you're a fan of the underdog, and I think right now DC is the underdog.
DC is.
I'm
rooting for him. I'm not a huge Superman fan, but I think there could be a lot of really good stories to tell, mm-hmm, and characters that are getting not enough spotlight. I think the DCU can do that.
Yeah. Are you not a Superman fan because it's like, how the fuck does he have any struggles at all outside of kryptonite?
Like, so my buddy Kevin, he's a huge Superman fan. We actually talked about this at length. I think he's boring. And the same reason I think he's boring is why Kevin loves him.
Okay.
Because he is so, like, oh, I know it was because they had to write new issues and give him new powers to solve new problems back in like the 40s.
Yeah.
But like, he can do everything.
Yeah.
So he's very boring. Like, there's nothing that can really stop him.
Right.
And it's very boring, uh-huh, on that aspect. But and I get how it's exciting that he's like, oh yeah, he can do all this stuff. And the fact that he doesn't makes him even more impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, I don't need Jazz the comic book. You know, it's not all the things he doesn't do.
Right.
But, you know, I think DC knocks it out the park with their animated stuff, so I've really enjoyed some animated Batman things. True. He has a great speech against Doomsday about living in a world of cardboard.
Okay.
It's just like, I get it, it's hard. You live in a world where at any moment you could just destroy literally all of it.
Right. Yeah.
So it's, yeah, that's interesting, but it's not my interesting.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who they would get to replace Henry Cavill at this point for Superman, because when you're Superman, like you said, you know, you could do anything. Like, you could destroy everything if you wanted to. That, mm-hmm, I feel like that is such a huge role, and I thought Henry Cavill did great.
Did fantastic.
So I, you know, replacing him, I don't know.
Yeah, but it'll be like, it's James Gunn, the director. The casting people kind of know what they're doing. It's just like when they cast Chris Hemsworth is Thor, you know, everyone's, yeah, like, oh my God, they got this nobody from Australia. And then now, true, you look at him and you're like, oh no, that dude is Thor.
True. That's fair.
Yeah.
Wonder if they'll go, maybe they'll throw a curveball. Kevin Hart as Superman. I don't know.
Kevin Hart's already rolling to the Borderlands movie and I'm mad. It just seems like a bad casting.
All right. Well, got 2 minutes. So for the fourth time, I think, or fifth, whatever. Thank you so much for doing this.
No, it's really not a big deal at all. Thank you.
Was there anything you wanted to plug real quick?
I mean, if you're in Indianapolis or the surrounding area, check out my live D&D show. We play D&D live called Monster. We're turning into a podcast soon. But just check out my website, Tyson Cox Comedy. I put my dates up there. And if you like me, follow me on your preferred social media platform. It's all at Tyson Cox Comedy. And give it a like and a share and say hi. I'll say hi back.
Awesome. All right, well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, man. Thank you. This was fun. Thank you.
All right, have a good one, man.
Bye.
Bye.
Just...
All right, everybody, welcome back to episode 62 of Feel Good Friday. We are about to wrap this thing up, burrito style. Speaking of wrap, though, let's transition from WRAP, drop the W, let's go to RAP, just rap, hip-hop, because last episode I did a little small segment where I was quoting Welcome Back by Mace. I was singing it, is more accurate, I guess. It was a great rendition, probably brought a lot of people to tears. You're welcome. And then I started talking about a memory I had with that song, and now it was on the CD that I had. It was the Source Presents Hip Hop Hits 9. I discovered it was 9 because I did some research, took a little trip down memory lane, and went through some of the Source Presents Hip Hop Hits albums. Now, I'm going to go through the track listing of 7, 8, 9, and 10 because those were the ones that I got. That's when I really started getting into hip-hop. The first one, The Source Presents Hip Hop Hits 7, dropped December 9th, 2003. And the track listing, it started with Act the Fool by Ludacris. Banger. Right out the gates, you got a fucking banger like Act the Fool off the Too Fast, Too Furious soundtrack. And then it was also on The Source Presents Hip Hop Hits 7, Volume 7. Track number 2 was Beautiful by Snoop Dogg. That was the first big Snoop Dogg hit that I remember. Because Snoop Dogg obviously was around before I existed, before I was a child, before I was a baby. But the first big hit that I remember was Beautiful off the album Paid the Cost to Be the Boss. And I actually got that album. No big deal. It was a great album. Number 3 was Thug's Mansion, Tupac and Anthony Hamilton. Fucking fantastic song. I swear, these albums were fire. These were some of the best compilations ever. Because then you followed Thug's Mansion with Air Force Ones by Nelly and the Saint Lunatics. Are you kidding me? Murphy Lee and the boys? Air Force Ones, absolutely. I actually did a project in high school on Air Force Ones and the influence it had on the sales of Nike. So, no big deal. 5 was The Jump Off by Lil' Kim. 6 was Can't Let You Go by Fabulous. Fabulous, that's a throwback right there. The first hit I remember from him was actually Breathe, not Can't Let You Go, but I do remember Can't Let You Go. Don't you worry, I remember that. Rock the Party was number 7. That was by Benzino. I think The Source liked Benzino because I remember Benzino being on a lot of these albums, at least the ones that I bought. So maybe they had a little thing for Benzino. I don't know. Number 8 was Where the Hood At by DMX. Absolute banger. One of my favorite songs. Can't really quote it. A lot of N-bombs. At least I can't sing it in public. I can't sing it out loud. But I do know every word. And that's a blessing and a curse. Number 9 is Never Scared by Bone Crusher. But I think it was the remix because this one featured Busta Rhymes and Jadakiss. So I do think that is the remix. 3 of my favorite rappers growing up. Bone Crusher was just this loud dude from the South. Big ol' belly, big ol' afro, and he just had this in-your-face kind of crunk style, and I loved it. I loved it. I was all about it. I remember I got his album, and Never Scared was one of the best. Like a Pimp, David Banner and Lil Flip. Oh, my God. Real girls get down on the flow, on the flow. That one, yeah? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Like a Pimp. Lil Flip, whatever happened to him? Missed that guy and his Lucky Charms. Game Over was a banger as well. Mesmerize by Ashanti and Ja Rule. Fantastic. Love You Better by LL Cool J. Come on. Beware of the Boys, the Jay-Z remix. Jay-Z and Punjabi MC. Come on. Work It by Missy Elliott. Are you kidding me? What a fucking compilation Volume 7 was. And then number 15 was actually another Benzino. It was Untouchables. It was Benzino featuring the Untouchables. So number 7 came in hot, and I think that's why I was hooked, because I went on to get The Source Presents Hip Hop Hits number 8. That was June 29th, 2004. And the track listing on that one goes like this. It goes Damn by the Youngbloods, which that was one of the best. If you don't give a damn, we don't give a fuck. What? If you don't give a damn, we don't give a fuck. What? And I believe the radio version was, if you don't give a damn, we gonna throw it up. What? Which, you know, not as hard, but it still goes hard. 2 was Industry by Wyclef Jean. That was more of a slower one because, you know, it's Wyclef Jean. He's not the hardest rapper out there, but still, I still loved it. I still loved it. Three was Right There by Chingy. Come on. Chingy. Snubbed from the Billboard Top 50 Rappers of All Time list. Just kidding. He probably shouldn't be on there. But he could make Top 75. Maybe. Probably not. But he could make Top 100. That's debatable. But Right There. Come on. I love it when she do it right there. Right there. Everyone remembers that one. That was his breakout hit. Can't Stop, Won't Stop by the Young Guns. Can't Stop, Won't Stop. Rock it to the rhythm because we get down. Because we get down. Something like that. That actually might be a different song. Sorry. I got the Can't Stop, Won't Stops confused. Whew. Some hip-hop guru I am. Gonna keep on moving to Gangsta Nation at number 5. The West Side Connection featuring Nate Dogg. Come on, the West Side Connection was dope. Mac-10, WC, and Ice Cube, and then you throw Nate Dogg on the track? Consider this an invitation to my Gangsta Nation. Na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. That one I know I got right because I love that song. Clap Back featuring Ja Rule. Clap back, we gon' clap back, we gon' clap back, we gon' clap, that's right on the world. I love that song. The beat went hard. Ja Rule had that great gritty voice. I loved it. Through the Wire by Kanye West. I missed the old Kanye. College Dropout, Late Registration, Graduation, Kanye. Give me some of that. Through the Wire was amazing. Skills by Gangstar. Gangstar is one of the best MCs of all time. I will not waver from that take. Tipsy by Jaquan. Jaquan, a one-hit wonder of hip-hop. Everybody in this bitch getting tipsy. Everybody. But then the radio version was everybody in the club getting tipsy. So that's a good one. Quarterbacking by Clips and E-40. E-40, one of the best. Into You, another fabulous one. Fabulous got on 2 albums in a row. Be Easy by T.I. Oh, my God. What a good one. One of the lesser-known T.I. hits, and this was early T.I., but that was great. Hotel, R. Kelly and Cassidy. Cassidy featuring R. Kelly, if you will. Cassidy is one of my best lyricists of all time. I put him up right there with Styles P, Nas. Cassidy is forever slept on, in my opinion. The man's got punchlines for days. Hotel was probably his biggest hit. I'm a Hustler was up there. I'm a hustler, I'm a hustler, homie. But Hotel was big. You know, you put R. Kelly on a track back in the day. Not these days, but back in the day, for sure. It's going to make some noise. Then you got Salt Shaker by the Ying Yang Twins featuring Lil Jon and the East Side Boys. What a fucking banger that was. 5 dudes who just like to get crunk. And get crunk they did, my friends. Get crunk they did. Great song there. Recognized by Scarface. Scarface is one of the hardest rappers of all time. He's got that kind of ruggedy voice. He's straight up gangster. He's down from Houston. He's that Southern, you know, don't fuck with me attitude. He has one of the best lines ever. He goes, you ain't shit to me. You a hoe in the 5th degree, a discharge from a dick disease. And that's so good. I actually found out about Scarface from Office Space, the movie. If you remember in the very beginning, Michael Bolton is in his car on the way to work and he's rapping along to Scarface. That's actually a Scarface song called Scarface the Diary, I think is what it's called. Now the funeral is over and all the tears are dried up. Something like that. Really, shots nonstop until I see your monkey ass drop and let your homies know who done it. Because when it comes to this gangsta shit, you motherfuckers know who run it. Ah. God, that guy's good. That guy was badass. I wanted to rap like him, but then I realized I'm not a big gangster black dude from Houston. I am a kind of chubby white kid from Chicago Ridge. Not quite the same thing. And then next, relationships. Relationships with me and my gun. Another Benzino song. Benzino and the Untouchables. He got on the Hip Hop Hits album again. This guy, I'm telling you, he knows some people at the Source or something. Benzino, he's got the connections. So next was Hip Hop Hits 9. That's how things work. They go in order. I did 7, I did 8, now I did 9. 9 was released December 7th in 2004. Track listing for this one, another certified greatest hits compilation. Fucking bangers after bangers. Game Over featuring Lil Flip. I just mentioned that song earlier. Game Over was a great, great song. Locked Up by Akon. That was kind of his breakout. I'm locked up. They won't let me out. They won't let me out. I'm locked up. They won't let me out. No, they won't. Does that sound like Akon? Probably. I do remember when Akon was, he said that he was struggling to find the words to describe this girl without being disrespectful. And then he settled on, damn, use a sexy bitch. So maybe you should have thought a little bit more before he actually said anything. But anyway, Akon, I hear he's doing some great shit, like outside, you know, off the mic and in his community and stuff. He's doing some major charity work and whatnot. So good guy, Akon. You can call the girls sexy bitches all you want, as long as you help out the community, I guess. I don't know. Slow Motion featuring Juvenile. No, Slow Motion Juvenile featuring Soulja Slim was track number 3. Slow Mo. Come on, everyone remember. I like it like that. She working that back. I don't know how to act. Slow motion for me. Slow motion for me. Slow motion for me. Move it. Slow motion for me. I'm going to stop singing that because it might get a little weird. It's, you know, it's a little sexual, a little sensual even. And I don't want to get you guys too excited. I know I got that voice. Number 4 was Blow It Out by Ludacris. Blow It Out was track number 2 on the album Chicken and Beer, one of my favorite albums growing up. Word of Mouth and Chicken and Beer, Red Light District, the 3 Ludacris albums. Huge, huge albums of my childhood. I listened to them all a lot, start to finish. And Blow It Out, track number 2 on Chicken and Beer, was no exception. Blow It Out Your Ass. And then number 5 was Welcome Back by Mace. That's how this whole thing got started. This is why I decided to dive down in this rabbit hole and keep digging. Freak-a-Leak was number 6 by P.D. Pablo. P.D. Pablo was awesome. I'm kind of upset that he's not big anymore, you know? Freak-a-Leak was a dope song. You still hear it from time to time, and it still hits. It's still a banger. It still slaps, as the kids say. It's still fire, as the kids say. Fucking love that song. I Like That by Chingy, Nate Dogg, and Houston. It's actually Houston featuring Chingy and Nate Dogg. Some of these labels are a little messed up, so I got to correct them. You know, it's okay. It's Wikipedia. What are you going to do? But I Like That was a dope one. Houston didn't really do much after this banger, but it was a banger for sure. You can take a shot every time I say banger. I'll get you fucked up real quick. I just realized how often I'm saying that, so my bad. No Better Love, Young Guns and Rel. Decent. I'm not going to lie. Not my favorite, but decent. Overnight Celebrity, Twista, come on. Great song. Overnight Celebrity, oh, Twista, one of the greatest Chicago rappers of all time. Then you got Selfish, John Legend, Slum Village, and Kanye West. Got It Twisted by Mobb Deep. And wouldn't you know it, another Benzino song. Bottles and Up, another Benzino song. This man is sucking dick at the source. That's how they're getting, like, that's how it's on every album, a Benzino song. He's got to be taking some dicks. Whether it's the mouth or the ass, dicks are getting pleasured. They're getting milked by Benzino. That's why there's a Benzino song on every album that I've gone through so far. I forgot if there is one on 10, but we're going to find out real soon. Because number 13 was No Problem by Lil Scrappy. Oh, I love me some Lil Scrappy. You don't want no problem with me. You don't want no problem. Oh, that was a badass song. Bring It Back, Manny Fresh and Lil Wayne. Dope song. This is early Lil Wayne, too. This is actually, I think Lil Wayne, I don't think he's gone crazy like Kanye has gone crazy, but I definitely prefer old Lil Wayne to new Lil Wayne. The Carter 1, 2, and 3 are 3 of the greatest albums of all time. Rubber Band Man by T.I. That was one of his biggest hits back in the day. And then, you know, more and more music comes out, you're going to create bigger hits. But Rubber Band Man was wild. Rubber Band Man, wild as the Taliban. 9 in my right, 45 in my other hand. Call me Trouble Man, always in trouble, man. Oh, great song. And the beat was dope for that one. Just like Be Easy. T.I. had some great beats back in the day. And then number 16, Don't Hate by Benzino. I'll tell you what, I'm over this Benzino shit. Like, there's no way, like, I barely remember any of the Benzino songs that they're even talking about, that they're listing on this. So there's some blowage going on at the source with Benzino and the higher ups for sure. Cause I don't remember Benzino at all. Just saying, like, I know who Benzino, like, I know Benzino, but I'm just saying, anyway, Anyway. Next up, The Source presents Hip Hop Hits 10. This was the last one. This was released July 26th, 2008. And here's the track listing for that. Another great one. Don't you worry. Lean Back by the Terror Squad. Come on. Fat Joe. Remy Ma. Love it. Don't dance so you throw pants in. Do the rock away. Now lean back. Lean back. Yeah. Good one. Nola Clap by Juvenile. We got another Juvenile song there. Love that for him. Breathe by Fabulous. That's the one. That's the one that I heard. That's the one that got me, like, that real, like, I really started checking out Fabulous when I heard Breathe. Go DJ by Lil Wayne. Come on. Come on. Go DJ. Go DJ. Go, that's my DJ. Go DJ. So, yeah. Let's Go by Trick Daddy featuring Twista and Lil Jon. That song was an absolute banger. There you go. I said banger again. Take another shot, bitch. It had the Crazy Train sample, and it was just fantastic. Hold You Down, The Alchemist, and Mobb Deep. What You Gonna Do, Lil Jon and Lil Scrappy? Oh my God, Lil Jon. This was, I think that was off Crunk Juice, which was their second album, because their first album had Get Low. I don't even know how Get Low didn't get on one of these albums. Get Low was an all timer. But What You Gonna Do is pretty good too. Goodies featuring Sierra, aka Sierra Wilson now. Have Fun in Denver. Hopefully your husband starts to play a little better. I have no joke, just criticism for a professional athlete as a guy who just ate two Subway sandwiches. Damn It Man featuring, or it's Pitbull featuring Piccolo. Damn It Man is, again, sorry, starting to trip up my words. I'm getting a little excited. Damn It Man was back when I liked Pitbull too. And then Pitbull got very, very mainstream. He started doing like dance songs and all that pop shit. Pitbull used to be a rapper from Miami, like just badass Puerto Rican. Like he was a badass. And then, yeah, got a little too poppy, became Mr. Worldwide. But Damn It Man is fantastic. Certified Gangsters. Jim Jones, The Game, Jay Beazle, and Cam'ron. Come on. Good stuff. Never Ever by Trillville. Oh, this song still gets me going. You throw this song out at a party, I'm gonna feel it. I'm gonna feel it. You know what I mean? And then once you know it, there's another Benzino song, Wide Body. Well, I've never even fucking heard of Wide Body. All right, now I'm getting pissed off. You know what? Fuck Benzino. Like Tupac said, fuck Benzino. Number 13, Vibrate by Petey Pablo. I do remember that one. I like the way your ass be vibrating. Come on, dad. Right, anyway, so Vibrate. Another Petey Pablo one. Good job. Good for you. Yes, Yes, Y'all by the Ghetto Boys. Oh, Ghetto Boys are great. That had my boy Scarface in it. Had a little midget. Can I say that? And had the little person, there we go, who was just this badass. And Yes, Yes, Y'all was, I think, one of his best verses of all time. Oh, man, I can't even remember how it goes right now. But if it came on, because I know the chorus, Yes, Yes, Y'all, from the streets, y'all, it's GB, y'all, and we don't stop. Yes, Yes, Y'all. Oh, yeah, I'm the little motherfucker with the big dick swinging. Nuts still hanging. Got hoes singing the blues. Ghetto boys in this bitch still banging. And ain't shit changing. Ain't shit changing. Don't like. Anyway, check it out for yourself. It's a good verse. Y'all heard of me? C-Murder and BG. That song is a slow song. C-Murder and BG both have this very slow flow to them. And it's almost uncomfortable, but still a good song. C-Murder, BG. And number 16 was What's Really Good. It's another Benzino song. I'm fucking over it. Fuck you, Benzino. Yeah, so those were four albums that I listened to a lot back in the day. I know a lot of those songs. Crazy, I don't know any of those Benzino songs, and he has like fucking 20 of them on there. It's supposed to be a best of all hip-hop, and yet he gets like two songs in every album. Something's up. Somebody took some dicks in the mouth. That's all I'm gonna say. So anyway, that's how I'm wrapping it up. I forgot to mention earlier, Adam Sandler getting that Mark Twain Award. Conan O'Brien was there. Idina Menzel was there. Judd Apatow was there. There were obviously a lot of other people that I forgot to mention, but just a few big names that I forgot. So if you wanted to check that out on YouTube, some pretty funny stuff. So, all right, I will end it on that. Went through some great hip hop memories, and gave my love to Sandler, and then had that great interview with Tyson Cox. I'd say that's a hell of an episode. If I say so myself, that's a hell of an episode. So we're going to end it there. Thank you all for listening to episode 62. 63 will be next. That's how numbers work. Stay sexy, everybody. All right. Love you all. Spring is on its... Oh, spring is... It's about to hit 60 today. It's definitely hitting 60 tomorrow. And we're getting 60, mid-60s and thunderstorms. Are you kidding me? I'm for it. I'm for it. Come on, spring. Come on, spring. Come on. Come for me, spring. That's weird. All right, I'm done.